I'd like to think of tonight about being more like Jesus.
Yeah.
And I've noticed in my life that there's times that I haven't acted like Jesus. And I want to. But there are certain things that I notice pretty easily. When I say something that I shouldn't say to somebody and hurt them, or I say something that's out of place, sometimes I just talk too much. And I'll know that I don't feel right about that. And I'll say, Lord, I want you to help me.
Yes.
That I can say the right thing. So I fairly easily see in some of those areas that I'm not being like Jesus. Years ago, I was doing a little project at the house, and I was underneath my house, and there wasn't very much crawl space under there. Actually, the crawl space that I had, I was tunneling it as I went. And I was trying to put in a bathroom on the far side of the house, an old house, since the septic system was on the other side, so I had to put my sewer line in under the house, and I had to do it just right. And I got in under there, and I was trying to couple up some pipes, and I couldn't get it together. And I was in a real tight place, and I was struggling to try to get it done, and I got frustrated. And I started murmuring. My mind was, is Lord, if I was in your situation, I'd help me to get this done. And I became irritated at that, and I didn't throw anything or throw a tantrum or anything like that. But I realized that inside of me wasn't being like Jesus.
Okay.
And I recognized that.
Yeah.
Fairly easy.
That's right.
But there is something, and Lord help us tonight, it's really the thought I have. There is something that we can let go by, that we don't pay attention to, that is a very important part of being like Jesus. Jesus' most outstanding characteristic, his most identifying characteristic, was his love.
Yeah.
For people.
That's right.
And it's been so easy for me to have an indifferent attitude towards people that is put in my world. It's really easy for me to live my Christian life. And the Lord started dealing with me about this, and it's been a challenge to me. And I have this question tonight. Is it possible that someone have God living in their life and not care for others? Is it possible that you could have God living in your heart and in your life and not have a profound care and concern for the human soul? I don't think so.
Amen.
I don't think that it's possible to take on the very nature of Christ and His Spirit.
That's right.
And not take on the defining characteristic of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to challenge that tonight, because I know in my life I've endeavored to serve the Lord. And I've endeavored in my heart to be like Jesus. And I have corrected many times words spoken too quickly. Lord, I'm sorry, and I will say to others, I'm sorry I said that. That wasn't like Jesus. I worked on a job one time, and things got kind of tight, and the boss was demanding, and me and him had us a little go around, and I told him some things that was true, but the spirit of the way I told him was wrong. And the Lord dealt with me about that, and I realized right off, I went away from there feeling bad. and knew that I had crossed something that I didn't want to do, and I come back, and I've had to do that in my life.
Yes.
But there has been something that has been neglected many times and has been easy for me to not even consider. What God has placed in my life around for me to consider. We have up home, down home, we have a little boy there in the community, or the family of children there. One of them in particular is very ornery, you may say. He's in trouble quite a bit, and he comes over to the house. His language is terrible. And right off, that gives me justification in my mind. I need to keep him out of here. But tell the Lord dealt with me about that. Different times the Lord has helped me to see. I know I have a responsibility to my children in those kind of places. But every time I start to think that I'm going to do something, I feel the Lord working. The Lord has placed that young boy, 12, 13 years old, there in my little world. He would play army, and he'll get over out in the weeds and wait till my children come out in the yard, and he'll shoot airsoft guns at them, shoot these deals at them. We come home from one of the trips in the summer, and someone had picked one of our tomatoes and threw it at the house in the window, and old rotten tomatoes running down the window. And cursing and swearing. And then one day, all the vehicles were gone, but one of my boys sat. He stayed at home, and he was upstairs in his room with the door closed. Upstairs, doors are all closed. He's up in his room reading, and all of a sudden he heard his door, and he looked, and this little head pops in, coming into the house. And that's not good. And what do you do about something like that? But you know, he's put in my place. He's put in my world. It'd be real hard for me to really have the love of God in my heart and not be concerned if in any way possible, Lord, give me the wisdom.
That's right.
Give me the wisdom, because we can look at a little fella sometime and say, well, there's not hardly worth fooling with. But we'll tell you what happens to little boys. They grow up to be men. They grow up many times to be men with great needs in their life. And this little boy has been put in that community there. Well, I felt like I needed to talk to him, so I felt like the Lord helped me to be able to tell him. I asked him, I said, you went into the house and the door was closed the other day. And I really easily I could have went and got him in trouble. And I wonder about what I should have done to maybe help him. Sometimes it's not wrong to help in those kind of ways. But I'd like the Lord help me to be able to say to him in a way that was winning. I told him, I said, don't do that. You could get hurt doing that. Somebody could shoot you. Or you could be put in jail. People are going to think you're stealing if you go into their house uninvited like that. I said, don't go in there like that. You know, my real heart is that I pray that maybe the Lord could set a seed in this boy's heart that way down the ages, maybe down through a rough course of his life. Well, if I looked at his life, to tell you the truth about it, he's had several mothers. His mother left him when he was little and declared she wanted nothing to do with him. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, they had a little sister, and she took the little sister and left the two little boys, and she went to California. She was out there for a while, and she called back and told their dad that if you want her, you come and get her, because I never want to see her again. Those kind of things hurt little children that's not wanted. It makes them throw tomatoes at windows. It makes them do things that they don't know why they're acting up, but there's something that's touched their lives that's not normal, it's not right. And in some way, I can make a difference. There was a time that I would be very religious. Women are very religious. But Lord, help us to have the truth in our heart and really have what Jesus' character really is. Jesus was really character that
warped and corrupted by this world, when we had taken on all of it, when we were filthy and defiled, Him being completely holy and righteous, gave His life that He might redeem us. Yeah. That's His most admirable quality. That's His most defining character. This is who Jesus is. You ever notice, it was always peculiar to me, did you ever notice that the Bible doesn't describe Jesus in the flesh? Yeah. Anytime, Brother Wall, that we try to describe one another, what are we going to say? Brother Wall, I'm guessing, what, 5'10"?
I was until I broke.
I want to describe him. Well, this is my description of him. An elderly gentleman. He wears glasses. He's gray hair and he's receding a little bit. And he's about 5'10". I can make a description of him. You ever notice that Jesus has no description? And we always describe one another that way. But the Bible didn't put emphasis on Jesus' flesh. But it describes him totally. Jesus, who Jesus is, was totally described in the Bible. Jesus is love. Yeah. Jesus was humility. Jesus was sacrifice. Yeah. His character is totally shown in the Bible. All we need to know about Jesus is shown. And we want to be more like Him. And yet we can be, and I believe in modesty. I believe in outward things. I believe there's a thing that shows, gives the first impression. I don't believe in those kind of things. But do you know there's something of His character that most of all the religious world lets go by so easily? It's love. A real dying love for one another. A sacrificial love.
Yeah.
A love that says it would be easy for me to put boundaries around my property and tell those children that disrupt my world, stay away from here. Stay out of here. Until you act right, don't come back. What? Is that what Jesus said? When you all act right enough, then I'll accept you. No, He died to win us to that. He died that we might see something that would draw us and say when it's my crucial hour, my worst time, that I can say, there's hope for me. There's hope for me. Jesus died for me.
Amen.
And I mean that. I want to be more like Jesus.
Lynn and I was married the first year we was married. We went to a meeting in Miami, Florida. We got down there to Miami, Florida, and when we got there, we kind of followed directions. We got there what we thought was right, and there was nobody there. We was a little early. There was nobody there. And we sat there, and it started getting dark. And this was right down in North Miami. You talk about a rough-looking place. It was mud. It was rough. It looked like there were people just waiting around to get into something. They were just standing around looking like, and they had a big fence around the chapel. And have watchdog in there. And I thought, this is a rough place. You know how easily we are prejudiced against things? You know how easily we'll chuck off somebody maybe that Jesus wouldn't? Mm-hmm. How easily we have that mentality? Yeah. It's easily done. Lord help us that we would be able to have a genuine. Genuine. This is what I mean, genuine. Something that I don't have to try to make up, but something that's real, that I can look beyond the natural prejudice of my world and my life, and it's easy, it's real easy to say, if you hurt me, then I may not say it, but I will mark you off of any kind of real relationship that I'm going to have with you. I want to mark you off because you hurt me, but that's not what Jesus
did.
He didn't do that. Now, we stayed there until service was supposed to start at 7:30 and 8 o'clock. There was still nobody there. And we get to thinking, we're in the wrong place and we're getting out of here. Well, a little bit, one of the saints drove up. And they told us a story. Brother Baxter. Sister Baxter had 15 children, if I'm not mistaken. Two little girls was playing out on the canal.
Two little girls, was playing out on the canal edge. Those canals run about 30 feet deep, I was told, that run through there. And one girl fell in. They couldn't swim. The bike is straight down in those canals. There is no place but water straight down in those canals. One of the little girls that couldn't swim fell into there, and the other one, in an attempt to help her sister, fell in. So both little girls that can't swim fell into this canal. And the other children began to scream, and a neighbor man came running over there. This neighbor man had 5, 6 children of his own. He comes running over there and dives into this canal, gets one of the little girls out, gets her up to the bank, dives in, and tries to save the other girl. And he gives such an effort to try to do it that he died. Mm. He drowned, trying to save one of the other little girl. The one girl was rushed to the emergency room and all of that, and she lived. It was a fall to recover, best I remember, but she lived through that. But the one little girl perished in the canal, and this man died in the canal, never made it. Mm. But I'm going to tell you, this man was a hero to me to this day.
Oh, yeah.
I admire that man for his sacrifice of love. Mm-hmm. And I said, I did not know, but when they told me the story of this man doing that, I said to the one that was there, that man had children if I know anything. he had something in him. He had children. And something went off in his heart to give his last measure of devotion. He gave his all. He gave his all to try to rescue this little girl. How much would we give? How far would we go to rescue somebody?
Yeah.
Not just from this world. I'm going to tell you, the girl that he rescued will die someday. He only prolonged that part. But when we reach out to save a soul, to win a soul, we go beyond the importance of this world.
That's right.
We're going into the eternal. We're going into forever. And to think that we have the love of God, and yet we don't have enough compassion and desire to be able to reach out to the little boys that's not been trained and live right and can say some cuss words to try to do what? Get attention from somebody? To try to reach out in love that they don't know what they're even doing? And here we have an opportunity.
That's right.
Here saints over in Africa, we don't live in the same kind of place. But I want to tell you, that's the love of God to take in 30 or 300 orphans when you can barely feed yourself. But what makes them do it? Love. And sacrificing. It's a sacrifice to be able to do that. There was a story written by a woman named Corey Ten Boom. You ever read The Hiding Place? There's one little place, several places in there that I got quite a bit out of. I read it years ago. My sister actually read it on the tape. But story of Corey Ten Boom is that she was a Dutch woman back during World War II. And they harbored Jews. They tried to help Jews in their escape from the Germans. They got caught. So Corey and Corey's father, the dad died pretty quickly after they got him. They were going to release him. And they said, this old man was an elderly gentleman. He was of integrity and all. When they saw him, they said, he don't belong here. Send him back home. Just promise us that you won't do this, then we'll send you home. And he said, if I go home today, I'll help whoever comes to my door. Well, I thought, well, I don't know. Was that wise? Was that foolish? But he told him what he meant. I'm not turning the person down. I'd rather die than not help somebody. He died. Corey had a sister named Elizabeth, and they went through these prison war camps. This was very touching to me. At one point in there, towards the end of it, Elizabeth turns and says to Corey, after this war is over, we should set up a home because there's going to be a lot of people that really have some deep needs, and we can help them. And Corey said, Elizabeth, that is a wonderful thought, suggestion.
we can set up something and we can help all these poor women and these poor slaves or prisoners. We can help them. And Elizabeth says, no, Cordy, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these German soldiers. Do you know how much need they're going to have in their hearts from what kind of cruelties they've done? That's going over your prejudice. That's truly having the real heart of God. He died for us when we was the same way. Cruel, mean, filthy. She looked beyond the very... She was tortured by them. But she looked beyond that. In the love of God, we can help them. We can rescue them. If we get in the right place, we can be an avenue of somebody's salvation. What a testimony for a German guard and all their cruelties to be able to stand up and say with tears in his eyes, I'm saved. I've been saved after all that that I've done. I'm saved from all that. You think God has a limitation in who he can save? Yeah. Do you think God can get a hold of a little boy that's my neighbor that hasn't been taught anything through love? Do you think he can be touched and can be saved? I pray that somewhere, something that I've done, when I took the attitude of those children there, as bad as they can get, we'll still invite them to our hot dog roast. If they do bad, and every time they do bad, we'll just invite them to another one. Give them some more marshmallows. Come on, maybe we can instill something that they will take out in their life. There was somebody. There was somebody that took a different view. There was somebody that did us right when we were trying to do them wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they done us right. Possibly you and I could make a difference. Now, I've got plenty of scriptures. I want to read scripture. Over in Proverbs, 11th chapter of Proverbs, it says in the 30th verse, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, I've heard a lot over the years that last phrase, he that winneth souls is wise,
mm-hmm.
And surely it's a fact.
Yes.
Surely it is a fact to realize that you're not going to save people by criticism. You're not going to save people with evil conduct. See, what we do a lot of times, we're not careful. If somebody comes against us, then we'll justify our actions back against them. We'll justify my inability or my reasons for not reaching out to them in the love of Christ. I'm going to tell you, think of what Jesus done. Jesus accepted what the Father had given. Not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes.
He took on himself the sins of the whole world. You know what that must have felt like? You ever feel guilt of the sin? What do you think Jesus must have felt like with the sins of the world like?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine the filthy and defiled feelings that you would have with all the guilt of all the murders and all the perverts and all the actions that have ever been committed against children and against elderly people and all that. You know Jesus bore that? All of that. And while he was on the cross, to those that had evil intentions against him, he said, Father, forgive them.
Yes.
Father, forgive them.
Yes.
I didn't wear right clothes, and it's right to do it. I can walk uprightly. I try to manage myself in all kinds of ways. And if I'm not careful, I'll miss the very essence of what Jesus is. Jesus is dying love. He died that we might live. And that same quality that was given into us, is given us, wasn't very long when Jesus went on and his spirit came back. It was a man named Stephen. Stephen went on and he preached a hard message, but the scripture said he was full of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And while he was full of the Holy Ghost, he preached a message to them about who Christ was and how they crucified him. They started gnashing their teeth and got stoned and started stoning him to death. And what did he do? He looked at God and with the same spirit,
mm-hmm.
He said, don't lay this to their charge.
That's right.
Why?
because he loved them.
That's right.
He was willing to, yep. Stephen was willing to tell them the truth, knowing they was going to stone him, knowing that they was going to what. He was willing to do that. Paul come along later and had the same, he was actually a part of it. Wasn't he?
That's right.
You don't think Stephen made a profound difference to Paul's life? He absolutely did.
Yes.
Do you know that the writings and inspiration that Paul had started all the way back there when he held some people's coats?
That's right.
To a man of God, a real man of God.
Yes.
And that influence went on until Paul said, when he said, I'm going to Jerusalem, and they prophesied to him and said, if you go to Jerusalem, and you took him and bound him with his girl and said, if you go, you'll be bound this way. And Paul said, I'm not only willing to be bound, but I'm willing to die.
That's right.
What was that?
Love.
What did he have?
Love.
He loved these people. He said, I would be accursed for their sake.
Praise God.
Isn't that something? You know what he really was saying? If you get into that, I'm sure that this is what he was talking about. He wasn't saying that I would wish myself not to be saved. He was saying, I would put myself in jeopardy for him. I would go there without the protection. I would go there to give them the gospel without the divine protection that's been on me. I love them enough to go and put myself in jeopardy for them. You know that's what Jesus did. It's the same thing. He had the same spirit that Jesus had in him, willing to give himself. I'm going to tell you what makes the beautiful church of God.
Mm-hmm.
What it is.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to its fullness, I'm going to tell you what makes it that way. It's everyone that's willing to die for the other. Brother, I'm interested in your spiritual welfare. Not in the flesh of what I can gain or what I can rule over you or what authority that I can get over you. If I have authority from God, it is only to be used in meekness towards your soul. But I am charged to it. It's what God has given to us. The real essence and character of Christ will alter all of those things of authority because it allows me to use authority in the right way.
That's right.
Yes, I've got authority, but Paul said I lay it down for their sake. I'll walk in there without any authority for their sake. I would cast them away.
Mm-hmm.
So he says here in this scripture, he that winneth souls is wise. He'll do anything it takes. He'll move in any direction it takes. Willing to be cast down? Is that right? Willing to be rejected? Whatever it takes that a soul might be won, the wise will do that. Well, that scripture says a lot more than just he that winneth souls is wise. That's actually only the tail end of that scripture. The first part of it is real good. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. A tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You know, the Lord wants every one of us to be a tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
That tree of life is the offering of God's love. It is to be able to set in our circle where God has put us. The fact of it is that I may never know everybody. You know, Rosette. I won't ever enter totally into your world, and neither will you enter totally into mine. I have a place that, if you may look at my analogy this way, however big or large the expanse of my limbs are in my tree, that the fruit of my life ought to extend there and be able to fall that far out. It ought to, wherever the circle ought to be, that's where I ought to be influenced to. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. If somebody is going to get anything, it's what to say. There's some little boys that I can be honest with and indifferent and none thanks to them. Blame me or no? God would know. My own heart would know. That there are some possibilities here, and Lord help me, that I can do it right. And time to time, it would be easy to prejudice myself. I come home from a meeting one time, totally didn't make sense to me. Been praying, Lord, I want to be more like you. That was my prayer. Lord, I want to be like more like you. For days, weeks, I was praying, Lord, I want to be more like you. I had no idea how the Lord was going to accomplish that. But I wanted to be more like the Lord. Sometimes we pray and we want the heavens to open up and a big boom come out and it's real easy that way. I just want divine influence for you know, you pray, you don't know what the Lord's going to do to actually accomplish what you really desire. I'm asking the Lord, Lord, I want to be more like you. Well, we got home from a trip. I think it was up in Duncan. We went back home and just pulled in. And my neighbor, man, he was kind of been drinking. And he come over there and, boy, he got it on me. His dog was getting into my yard. It was completely fenced around. And his dog was getting into my yard and getting into my trash and taking the trash, deer bones and that kind of stuff, and taking it back over to his yard. And he was mad at me because of the bones in his yard. And he was calling me all kinds of stuff, and I was sitting there thinking, now wait a minute, your dog gets into my yard. Well, I got it fenced so your dog won't be in my yard. But he gets in there and digs under the fence and gets into my trash and makes a mess with stuff. And then he takes the bones over to your yard, and you're on the bed. I heard that word. That's what I thought. He kept talking, and his grandmother lives across the road, and I have helped her, and the desire is that I help her. Never once did she ever call me that I didn't go immediately over to help her with whatever she wants. I fixed her furnace, I've got limbs out of her yard, I've mowed her yard, I've raked her leaves, whatever she was concerned about, I instantly went and done it. So after this all happened, I'm kind of feeling sorry for myself, and I was telling the Lord, Lord, this is just... how bad this is, and it's happened in this way, and felt like the Lord just spoke to me and said, you wanted to be more like me. All I was saying, Lord, it don't make sense to me. I said, all I've ever done was good. All I ever wanted to do was good to them, and then they did this to me. And that's what they've done to me. All my intentions was good, helping people, healing people, feeding them. And then they treated me that way. You know, I understood more about the Lord that day, I think, than I ever had before. I've always heard of Him, but I doubted what He was like. I determined I'm going to make a friend of that guy. It would have been real easy for me to... But I determined I'm going to make a friend of him. You know, he was mad at me for weeks when he waited at me. And for his dog getting in my trash, and if he had asked me to clean his yard, I would have done it willingly. And I tried to wave, and he was mad at me. It was awful. You know, finally, my family was all out, and we was painting my house. Had my girls out there, older girls, and we was all out there, and we was having fun. The whole family out there on a pretty day painting the house. And he saw that. And he come over there, and he wanted to help me move the ladder. He wanted to loan me things. You need a roller, and he was trying to help. I helped him. Well, asked me a little bit. Well, finally, he was off to the side, and he said, "I've been watching you and your family." He said, "That's the way a family ought to be." And then I come to find out, his family was all broke up. Hadn't seen his son in years. All gone. Young son. You know, I got a different perspective about something.
Yeah.
I did. It would have been real easy for me to have had a prejudice. To say, it would have been real easy for me to have an agenda. If we're not careful, we have agendas. We have things that we want to see work a certain way, but that's not the way the Spirit of God works.
Right.
The Spirit of God in us is reaching. It's reaching to other people. You don't think He loves my neighbor? He loves my neighbor. You know what? By the help of the Lord, I've made a real, real good friend right there. But it took something to get there. I can hardly do anything out there that's much labor in it. If he sees me, he'll come out and help me. I don't even ask him. He comes down and help me unload gravel. He sees me go. He's out there. We get big snowstorms. I'll look out there sometimes and he's plowing my drive for me. Which is willingly doing that. Mm-hmm. It won something. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. It adds hope to people, all people. It's not limited to who you are, what you've done, or the past, or any of that. It gives hope to anybody.
Glory.
Oh, and Lord, help us. It's so easy to want to shun. We don't shun anybody. We don't want to run anybody off. We want everybody to come, if it's all possible.
Amen.
We want everybody to come.
Yeah.
We include everybody. God's love is for everybody.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But we want to say, and of course there's things wrong. There's things wrong in this world now. But the whole idea that Christians drag somebody behind a truck, drag them to death, is wrong. No matter what their lifestyle is, God can deliver them from that lifestyle. stuff.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
He sure delivered me from a lot of my stuff. And you deliver them from my stuff, but too often the agenda's in the wrong place. We hate the sin, of course. We hate the work of the devil. It destroys people. Of course we hate it. But the people, we all hate the people. Our heart goes out to them.
Yes.
We love them and embrace them. I don't want to see anybody hurt. Jesus don't want to see anybody hurt.
Right.
He wants to see them whole and healthy.
Yes.
That's our job.
Yes.
And we're the fruit of the tree of life. The tree of life. Our fruit brings hope and health and healing to people's life when we truly have the right agenda in our hearts, the agenda of God's love.
And look at our scriptures, Galatians. This is a very familiar scripture, Galatians, the sixth chapter.
Yeah. It says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, just let him go and be glad he's gone.
Ooh.
Well, that's what the scripture says.
Amen.
There'll be a lot of people overtaken in fault. It's just the nature of the thing. I had a guy I knew way back in grade school, and I knew him that was living for the Lord at one time in his life. And I seen him a couple years ago. I hadn't seen him in years. His name was Brant. Brant married one of my cousins. That's the reason I kind of can't see him over the years. But he was trying to serve the Lord. And I saw him at a restaurant, and I said, Brant. And he talked a little bit, and I said, are you still serving the Lord? And he said, yeah. But he said, Marty, I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard. It's been hard for me. I'm having a hard time of it. Well, that's kind of the nature of it sometimes. Hard battle, hard trial. He's in the battle. Just as if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. Restore. Jesus' heart was always restored. I can get him back. Love them back.
That's right.
Get them back. Show them there's a better way. Restore them. They which are spiritual is putting a great responsibility on anyone that would claim it. Do you know if you claim to be spiritual, you're claiming you have the right spirit in you.
Mm-hmm.
You have the spirit that you can go to them with the love of God. You are spiritual. And I want to say there's a lot of false spirituality out there. And you can have all these pretensions of days gone by, and I'm living in a certain way, but if you don't love people, you don't have love Christ in your heart.
That's right.
If you're not willing to die for the very ones that the world rejects.
Amen.
But the churches reject. The people reject. Jesus didn't reject them. And how can we fight if we don't love them back? They which are spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness.
Of course.
Considering thyself, lest there also be tempted to actually realize that there's a fine line. What makes you who you are? Would you abuse as a little child?
I'm just saying.
What, did you go through that? Did you realize, did you only say, it's only God's grace that we are who we are? Can you claim anything to yourself? Well, I'm good because I will to be good. I had a hard time being good when I wanted to be good. It's God.
Yes.
It's God. Knowing that the line between what people are doing, of course, there's choices. When we choose to live closer to the Lord gives us the ability to do it. But there's a fine line many times between that. Lord, help us to be able to love.
And this scripture says, bear ye, or lest thou be tempted,
bearing one another's burdens. It is important that when we get in trouble, as the church on, when we get in trouble, that we defend one another. And we do. I've never got into trouble and saints didn't come running to me. Phone calls, cards, letters of appreciation. I've had a great overwhelming sense of love from the saints. It's right to do it. But this is talking about more than taking care of one another in this natural world. We ought to be responsible for one another. You remember there when Cain and Abel, and Cain slaying Abel, and the Lord comes to Cain and said, Cain, where's Abel? Well, you know what he said? Am I my brother's keeper? That's right, Cain. That's exactly what you are. You're your brother's keeper. We're our brother's keeper, but it goes more than the interest of our financial or food or our natural situation. This is talking about bearing one another up all the way to heaven, if need to be. Get under. Remember when Moses was up there and the children of Israel was fighting, and as long as Moses' arms was up, the children of Israel won the battle, but as soon as his arms come down, then they would begin to get defeated. How long did you stand with your arms up like this?
Well, the Lord hooked them up. How long did you do it? We used to do these little things in school and see how long you could do it. I think that's why your arms get tired. You imagine standing all day like that, but you know what they did? Some brothers got in there under and held his arms up.
That's right.
They supported him through that.
Right.
You know, we have that obligation, but it's more than just the natural things. Lord expects us to bear one another all the way till we finish with victory.
That's right.
We finish with victory. Well, it's hard sometimes. You don't know if you're going to have to bear through. You don't know how many nights is sleepless. You ever been in that kind of place? Just know. There was a monarch one time, and all of a sudden, Sister Lori Cole, she's got a breathing problem, and there was an urgent prayer request come in, and Sister Lori's in a bad physical condition. She needs some help. I was there. Brother Danny Adams was there. Guess what? All night long we prayed.
That's right.
All night long. Keep them encouraged. Keep her going. Pray all night. Lord bless. But he didn't just do it on the first prayer. We laid her holding their arms up. Oh, Brother Ronald's arms up. He was tired. He didn't like to it. Somebody needed it.
There we were praying.
His brother.
Thank God.
They done something to it.
Yes.
All together, find together, bear ye one another's burden.
Yes.
But that's not the real power of the Scripture. The power of the Scripture is in the fact that we fulfill and so fulfill the law of Christ. What law? There's all kinds of law. What law was he talking about? You know what law he was talking about? Love. The law of love. And fulfill the law of Christ. See, because over in John 13, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Well, that wasn't a new commandment, Brother Paul. That was an old commandment. But he didn't stop there. He said, as I have loved you. That was the new commandment. No one had ever been commanded, or no one had ever fulfilled a dying law for one another. But Jesus put a new law on us. He put a new commandment on us. He said, as I have loved you.
Praise God.
What a commandment. Now, what are my responsibilities? Lord, help me to have the love of God in my heart. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I started getting interested in my wife, it wasn't just that way. I prayed. I prayed and I prayed, and the Lord gave me my wife. But my wife comes to me with a condition of torture. The Lord specifically gave, not everybody's got the same one, but the Lord specifically gives me this condition. He said, you're responsible to get her, hold her up, take her, and support her all the way. The Lord charged me with her. I will be responsible that I do everything that I can for my wife to see that she has her ultimate chance to make heaven. Make it just as easy as I can. Lord, help me to be faithful to that, because there's been times it's not been real. I've looked and said, Marty, what are you doing? That's not what you said you do. Lord, help us. But there is an idea that we love one another, bear one another's burden, and don't fulfill the law of Christ, which is a new commandment which I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Now, you want to be challenged about how we ought to love one another? You find out how he loved you. Lord, just what did you do to prove that you loved me? What did you do? You know what he done? He gave his all. He gave everything that he had. He gave, do you realize he gave his reputation for us? He gave his earthly life. You know there was a time that he said, a scribe came to him and said, Master, I will go with you whithersoever you go.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, the fox doesn't have holes. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay down his head. And you know what? That was the end of that. Well, I always want to know. That just abruptly ended that conversation.
He was called back down. I didn't even know what he was talking about. I'll go with you as long as it's roses, as long as it's good food, as long as you're turning water to wine, and as long as you're feeding 5,000, I'm on board. And Jesus played the reality thing. This is the way of sacrifice.
That's right.
This is the way of sacrifice. You give to one another.
Yes.
If we could only really deeply get a hold of this, the blessings of God would be on us so richly.
That's right.
As we look around, always remember this, that there's not a soul. There's not a soul around that's not important to God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. There's not a soul. There's nobody that God is shunning. We shun. I was driving one time in the middle of the night going to a meeting, and I was praying about, Lord, give me somebody. Give me somebody to talk to. I was saying, oh, Lord, I want to be a witness for you. And all these things that pulled into a rest building. I flew into there, and there was a girl in there. She was the strangest looking creature. She was pierced. Her ears was laced with piercings. She had a chain that come down and hooked here. Her face was purple. Her hair was a purplish, greenish color. She was a famous dress looking person. I'll be honest with you. I seen her and I was like, oh. And I kind of just found that. No, Lord, check me on that. You know, Lord, check me on that. You know what the Lord allowed me to know? That person does that for attention. She does it because she needs love. She doesn't know what she's doing. And the way the Lord does it, you think she'll always do that? And I thought, no, she probably won't. It looks troublesome to me. No, she's reaching. She's won. She's desiring. That's somebody I love.
Yeah,
Lord, it's true. And I'm sorry. I feel this way, the way I did. Lord, help me. What would I think if that was my daughter? Huh? What would I feel if that was my child that I had held in my arms and I had raised them? What would I feel about that?
Pity?
Compassion? Oh, God, have mercy. The Lord helped me to understand that the word wicked is the same root as wither, like you wick a basket, a wither basket. It's woven and twisted. That word wicked is the same root. It means twisted. This one girl's idea of love has been twisted. All of mankind, his ideas are twisted. His love is twisted. His mother is twisted to cause of sin. And what's our part? To straighten it out through God's love. To allow them to realize the real reasons and purposes. To not to have an agenda. It's so easy to take sides. I want to say this tonight. It's easy when someone we love gets hurt. And a lot of times it hurts them spiritually. Then we take a side on that. But I want to bring you on a little higher level tonight. What the love of God will do. It will look beyond that. And realize that the offender is in great jeopardy of their eternal destiny. And it'll cause us to love beyond our earthly relatives, if you want to say it. And we'll look into the total needs of the other ones to be able to pray, Lord, help them. Because they don't know what they're doing. They've been caught in a system. They're caught in a way. The devil's taking advantage that they don't know what they're doing. Oh, Lord, please. Help me to be able to show them that I love them even at hurts. I'll still show them kindness. I'll still reach out my hand to them. Regardless. When Jesus was reviled, he reviled by them. When he was persecuted, he didn't persecute back. And he taught us. He taught us in the 5th chapter of Matthew, I think it is, about the 48th verse or somewhere through that running, where he tells us that God, he lets the rain
to rain on the just and the unjust, the sun shines on the just and the unjust, and he said that we could be the children, that we was to love our enemies, that we might be the children of our Father. Did you realize that love is what he begat? How can I claim I'm a child of God and not have what it takes to be one? He says, love your enemy that you might be children of God, your Father. You know what the devil tries to do? He tries to beget children. He tries to make his image in the earth with children. He tries to get people to act just like him. He hates. And he wants people to hate. But God loves. And he wants his people to love. How does God love? Agape. What does that mean? God's unconditional. You don't have a condition on your love? God don't have a condition on it? He loves you whether you're good, bad, whether you're indifferent, whether you've done right, done wrong. God's love is not conditional for those things.
Oh,
then how do we be children and have conditions? Don't you? Lord, help us to take us to a higher level. We can be. But God wants to bring us to a higher understanding because I want to be like him. I just want to be like him. You know, in this world, they have their heroes. They have their great sports heroes, and they have posters of them. Their movie stars and their bands, and they have them, and people put them on their walls and all those kind of things. I have a hero. Jesus, my hero. He's like me. I don't have no image. I think the images are wrong to make anyway, but I have an image in my mind, but it has no face to it. It doesn't really have a size and dimension to his body, for the Bible really didn't tell him. But I have a hero, and he's got attributes. His spiritual attributes. It's love without condition. It's meekness and humility. The very Son of God humbled himself. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, what it is. The only one say. That was his mind. He humbled himself. Lord, help us tonight.
Oh, yes.
That we could be able to really be a light to those around our world. Our family is at the forefront. Our neighbors at the forefront. Those that we meet. Do you know probably you could be exempt from this if you don't have children. You could probably say, if you don't have children, you can be exempt. If you don't have neighbors, if you never go to the store, you can be exempt. If you never see anybody at the post office, you never see anybody in town, or you never run into anybody, maybe you get away from it. If all these things are in there, there's nobody ever in your life. But that's not life.
That's right.
You know, we have a great opportunity to be able, as the world becomes more corrupt, we're going to start some things. We're going to suffer some things as living for God. Actually, the scripture says they don't live godly. Chaff suffer persecution. So that if you live, there's going to be persecution. Do you know it's the greatest opportunity that you and I have to be like Christ? Isn't that persecution? Because when somebody's persecuting, there's the mind of Elizabeth. We can help them. We can help them. And in the day of most persecution in the history of the world, when the church in the first century was being persecuted, and through that era, did Christianity die off? It was born. It was born. Do you know there was people saved right in the middle of the great persecution? What happened? They saw people with victory,
yeah,
where it was inhuman to have. They saw people love when they were despised, hated, persecuted, and burned at the stake. And their love did not diminish for the ones that was around them. And that was powerful. They was a move of God. Lord, help us here in our time to have the greatest attribute and characteristic of our Lord. A dying love. A willingness to suffer, go through whatever I have to, that someone might be saved. And there's more scriptures. I had more time to get away from this. But Paul, in his time of his writing, made it plain that I might by all means, I become all things to all people. What are you talking about? It sounds to me like it was never that.
I become all things to all people, that I might by all means
save some.
Just save some. That I might by every opportunity, everything, be able to save somebody in this life. So Lord, help us today to have that attribute of Christ. You pray for me.
Oh, praise God. We've heard from heaven tonight. We've heard about the Spirit of Christ.